Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 8. Come to the woods, for here is rest. John Muir. Layla sat folded into the sofa. Elliot gave a sly wink from behind the cover of the doorway and grinned. I'll be back before sundown. You know where food is. Help yourself to whatever you can find, and don't feel you have to stay until I'm home, Matty. Thank you again for watching out for Layla. Matty sniffed. I should think we might have to visit the grocer's or pop back to mine for proper foodstuffs. Elliot contained a laugh and sent it into the frayed denim of his jeans as he tugged at the laces of his boots. Lay's lucky to have you around, Matty. Nothing beats home-cooked food and fresh ingredients. A snort escaped from Layla. Matty peered at her over the grey steel rims of the spectacles wedged onto the bridge of her nose. She sniffed. Layla picked at the bits of loose stitching on an embroidered cushion, allowing the small bits of thread to float through beams of sunshine and out to the kitchen. She wasn't feeling brilliant about being left alone with Matty, but she desperately wanted her father to feel assured, so she stayed silent. Matty sniffed again and gave a curt nod. Elliot straightened and murmured a goodbye into Layla's hair. I'll see you later, love. Be good. Layla pulled her father into a hug, taking a moment to nestle into his chest. When she released him, his face had relaxed into an easy smile. Right, I better get on. He let himself out into the daylight, feeling the warmth spread through his fingers and into his mood. Layla listened as the van's engine grumbled and faded, and her father was gone. Layla. Layla kept picking. She didn't want to give Matty one reason to think she needed any kind of intervention, but fuck did she want to throw something at her. Layla! Layla watched from under her eyelashes as Matty stood and pulled an orange plastic container out of her cardigan. She placed the pills deliberately on the coffee table and knelt down to glare into Layla's face. Layla smelt peppermint and boiled foods and wanted to scream. Instead, she picked. Layla, your father wants you to take these, their medicine, to make you feel a bit calmer. Layla felt a jolt in her stomach. Her dad wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. He's worried. We all are, but... Matty sat her weight next to the pills on the low table. There was a pause as Matty surveyed Layla and Layla stared back stonily. If you were to tell us what's going on, perhaps we could help. And then you wouldn't need to take pills or be locked in here. You'd be free to play outside with Jacob. Layla looked up at Matty, ready to snarl, to fight. She wasn't trapped. She had her way out. Matty continued. If you told me what happened, perhaps I could help. Her eyebrow raised and Layla was sure she caught a glimpse of what might have been a wink in anyone else but in Matty, could surely have only been a twitch, a muscular spasm or nervous tick and not a gesture of friendliness. She stayed quiet. There was a long pause where once again both sides surveyed the other. Then Matty threw up her hands. Oh heavens, girl, I saw! There was no smugness, no sign of gross satisfaction, just truth growled out amidst grey hair and spectacles. She went on. When you left my house, I followed you. I hid in the tree line and was about to drag you back by your scruff when you vanished. Well, when you seemed to set yourself on fire. I ran towards you, thinking I could stop you, and then nothing, not even a single shred of you to be found. Layla felt her cheeks going red. She hadn't considered what it would look like if someone saw her. Matty ploughed on, sinking her neck into her shoulders like a vulture assessing its prey. I'm an old woman, far too nosy for her own good, so I've seen a thing or two in my time. Your mother, she used to pull stunts like this when she was a child, so I figured must run in the family. But your father, he doesn't know, does he? Layla tried to look impassively blank, but beneath the surface, her heart was racing. Someone else knew her mum had been a witch, a guardian, whatever. Someone else might believe her. when he got home and you still hadn't come back, I had to tell him something. And then he wanted to search the woods, sent out half of the village to look for you. Caused him quite a scare. That struck deep. Layla paled and forgot her silence. I didn't mean to. Matty sighed and shuffled her weight onto the sofa beside Layla. I know. I told him I'd lost you, couldn't find you, which wasn't quite a lie, I suppose. She took off her glasses, made a show of polishing them with a hand-stitched handkerchief. Look, I'm not stupid. I notice things. People have started to die. Not many folks were here when it happened before, and those that were for some reason seemed to have forgotten. She eyed Layla. But I remember. And I know your mother somehow made it stop, so... Layla cut her off. It's happened before. When? Matty smiled, her lips a grim line of satisfaction. Before you were born. The deaths looked accidental or like suicides, but there were too many for it to be a coincidence. So I kept track. The witch inhaled, remembering what it was to feel the cold, dank touch of the earth and its hollows. She felt for her arms, but there were none. In their stead, thick, rotten branches stretched out into thinly spun twigs, their weight barely held in the naked boughs. Her breasts were changed into bark, rough and dead. There was no trace of the woman she once was, save her arching spine, now the curved trunk twisted like the animal in pain she had been when they had bound her here. I remember, she thought, and I am coming back. She felt down into the earth where faint traces of the magic that had rekindled her strength still lingered. Still further she went into the earth's depths, and she began to feel the churning of the earthworms and the maggots, the desperate seeking of scavengers, and the freshly dead leaking their lifeblood into the ground. But nothing compared. She could taste the potency of the magic that dwelled in the house by the woods. She hungered for it. And she hungered for vengeance. It took Layla a while before she understood what she was staring at. These are the records of patients admitted during the months your mother was pregnant. They were back in Matty's living room, papers strewn across the carpet. This was back before I worked exclusively in the psychiatric ward. In the early months, there were only a few isolated incidents, an overdose, a hanging. And then it was like a switch flipped and suddenly the casualties started streaming in, once a month, but more involved, in each case more. Matty spread her hands, searching for words. Violent. Grotesque. Layla shifted, uneasy. I'll admit I was fascinated, our village so quiet, so, she laughed. Tedious in so many ways, to be transformed into a hotbed of suicide and murder. I couldn't understand it. She eyeballed Layla over the rim of her spectacles. I suppose I was able to retain a certain distance from everything that was going on, and with that I could study the patterns objectively. She laughed again. I must sound heartless, I know, but... She shuffled the papers with an extended finger, alighting on one and handing it to Layla. As you'll see, I wasn't able to keep that distance for very long. Layla scanned the words. Emerson. Matty barked a dry laugh. My son. I'd had him young, out of wedlock. Those things weren't cared for in the village at the time. Now, of course, the world being what it is, there's much more leniency, but I kept him. Loved him. He was my world. His death, It ruined me for a while. I don't suppose I've been quite the same since. Layla didn't know what to say. Matty shook her head. The other staff, the head of the hospital, the police, the rest of the village, they thought it was all very strange, but they couldn't find a connection. Investigations were done, of course, and then, as time wore on and no answers were found, everyone set about forgetting. Until there was only me. Only me who knew that there had to be a link between them all. And only me at home. The other families, wives, husbands, mothers, they weren't interested in what I had to say. Most moved, and I dare say moved on from wondering. Me, I... She shook her head, her eyes misting over. I couldn't. I had to find answers. I had to know. I transferred to the psychiatric unit as soon as I returned to work, but by then it was all over. Your mother was dead. You were born. The murder stopped. Layla bit her lip, trying to take it all in. She studied Matty's face as she spoke, trying to imagine the grief and torment she'd been through, so similar yet worlds apart from Layla's own. My mother, she began, not knowing how to tell Matty everything she'd seen and heard in the fire of the ancient hearth, not knowing if by sharing her secret she'd cause herself to be judged as mad, because it sounded mad, it felt mad to Layla. But all she knew was that the woman before her had suffered, that she'd looked for answers her whole life, and she deserved them. I saw something. And she told Matty Emerson everything she knew about the witch, her mother, and the elders. When Layla was done, Matty silently walked to the kitchen, returning, clutching a tumbler of amber liquid, which she knocked back in one gulp. She stared at Layla from across the room. If I hadn't seen what I saw, your disappearing into flames, your mother's odd behaviour, the bodies all those years ago, I should think you were playing a cruel game with me. Her eyes dropped to the bottom of the glass, her thumb tracing the patterns around its edge. As it is, I believe you. And I think that's possibly far more terrifying to admit out loud. For both of us. Because I think up until now you weren't really sure about whether you believed or not. And now you do. Well, you know that you're the one that has to do something about it. Layla's stomach flipped. She nodded. Sharing the truth had made it real. She could no longer harbour the hope that she was crazy. She had no option but to figure out how to stop a seemingly unstoppable killer that no one would believe existed. Layla watched the moon grow fat from her window. With every day that passed, she felt horror creep further up her throat. She watched the dwindling light of the moon until it was only a sliver that separated her from the black that seeped at its edges. Time crept past, yet she did nothing. So she waited, knowing only that she mustn't let something terrible happen. End of chapter 8. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at twisted_roots_agparker or a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.